Okay, we're continuing top of page Tesvav Os Yudalid. Okay, Nizbainim B'dvarim. Let's think about things over here. V'navin Oisem Haytev and understand them well. V'nafnim Osam Amuk Amuk L'toch Alev and let's direct ourselves to them very very deeply into the heart. Anu Oskim B'chol Ma'os Adam V'Tachlisa. We are talking about the entire essence of man and his goal. Tachas Adam Hi, the goal of the human being, as we've amplified it, is the words V'atem Adveikim B'Hashem Elokeichem Chaim Kulchem Hayom, that you are attached to Hashem, your God, today, and you all are alive today. V'zeil Kol Ma'os Adam, this is the entire essence of a person, K'mo Shekasu B'Ramchal, as it says in Lutzado, V'ani Kirvas Elokim Litov, and for me, being close to Hashem is what's good. And as Lutzado added, Vizula Zeh, and anything besides this, Mashiachshu b'nei Adam l'tov, whatever else people think is good, Ein el hakol hevel v'shav niseh. This is all a bunch of baloney. That's all. Nothingness and untruths that will cause you to stray. Okay, so again, like he really wants you to get this idea. He's not budging till he's really sure he's made the point. Again, he is saying that any other definition of what is good for a person other than Kirves Elokim Litov, any other definition is simply not true. That's it. There is no such thing as something being good if it's not Kirves Elokim Litov. Right? Is what Lutzado is saying. He's not saying anything that Lutzado hasn't said. Now again, for those that are upset with that, the author agrees that you can enjoy a lot of things. You can enjoy a lot of things. But what defines good is only one definition, closeness to Hashem. So now, it depends. If all those things, and that's where we ended off yesterday, if all these things that you do, if these are the things that direct you to closeness to Hashem, then they're good. But if these things are not part of your efforts to be close to Hashem, then they're not good. And that's all there is to say to it. So eating breakfast, if it's eaten in a way that brings you closer to Hashem, then it's a good thing. He didn't say can't eat breakfast. Make a bracha. Enjoy that the meal comes from Hashem. You walk away from the meal loving Hashem more. Why not enjoy the breakfast? There's nothing wrong with breakfast to take away from Hashem, right? So again, so you got to ask the question about the World Series, the seventh game of the World Series, right? Is this something that will direct you to become closer to Hashem or not? So everyone has to answer that question to themselves, to be honest. Is this the thing that's going to get you closer to Hashem, or it's not going to get you closer to Hashem? And if you can justify how it gets you closer to Hashem, then you could do it. I can't see how, but maybe somebody can explain it. That's the bottom line. So there are things that are allowed. There's a lot of things that are allowed with Kirvas Elokim Litov. There's a lot of things you can do. You can go for a romantic walk in the park with your spouse. So all kinds of things. You want to go hiking, you want to go do exercise. There's a lot of things you can do. You're not restrained. You can play ball with your kids. You can do that. There's a lot of things that you can do. You can play checkers with your son. Why not? Because you want to have a better relationship with your son. And you want to stimulate his mind while you're doing it instead of vegetating his mind. You know, playing checkers, you have to think. You know, there are certain rabbis who encouraged young boys to play chess because it would help their minds, sharpen their minds to learn Gemara. Because you know, that's where you're using your mind. Okay? You know, going to the World Series is just you're frying your mind. You know? Even if it's with your kid. You know? So you're both frying your minds together. Right? So, okay. Maybe there is a time and place. You know? Depends. If the parent and the son is so far away from Yiddishkeit. Okay. Maybe. But for people who know better and understand that there's higher quality of life, then it doesn't really fit into Kirvas Elokim Litov. Yeah, certainly you could take a bunch of NCSY kids who aren't religious and you could take them to a ball game, right? Because that's the only way you're going to reach them. So if you're the leader and you're taking them for that purpose, then it's Kirvas Elokim Litov. But if a bunch of Yeshiva Bachamer go to, would it be a Chil Hashem? There's no reason for them to go. So it all has to fit into that category. It has to be defined by that. If just now that you have the card that Jeanette so graciously made, you just look at the card, and you stare at the card, you know, is this, it's too bad you don't have a picture of God, but you don't know how to do that. So Kirvas Elokim Litov. That's it. Is that getting you close to Shem or not? Right? So now, Nifnim as advarim, let's direct our words. She'ein be'emes dover acher b'chaim chutz mekirvas Hashem dveikas v'Hashem. There really, truly, there's nothing else in this world of life aside from closeness to Hashem and attachment to Hashem. V'chol atariyig mitzvahs, and even the 613 mitzvahs, they aren't entities into themselves. Eina ela derech lagia l'tachlasu. They are only a means for us to reach to this point, to this goal. That's it. Even the mitzvahs. Why? You know, even when you're doing a mitzvah, you have to understand how that's kirvas Elokim Litov. And there can be some mitzvahs that are not mitzvahs, as we learned in the Rambam last night. For those who are in the Rambam last night, we said from the mystics that in the state of sin, if you do mitzvahs in a state of sin, it can very well take you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So mitzvahs alone, there's no proof that you're doing it to be close to Hashem. You know, you could be doing a mitzvah, you have an option of doing a mitzvah A and mitzvah B. Mitzvah A is the one that God wants you to do. Mitzvah B is the one you want to do. You know, you have a shear at 8:30, a regular shear, right? And somebody needs some help with a ride somewhere. Okay? And they're asking you, but you have a regular shear. So you know what? You should say, you know, maybe you could find a ride with somebody else that isn't learning Torah right now. Go ask. You know? Or you could say, you know what? I'll pay you $50 for the cab. You know? But instead the guy says, oh, sure. Chance to miss a shear? Great. I mean, he doesn't say that. But okay, I'll take you to the, I'll drive you. Then the rabbi says, so where, how to get someone a ride? Excuse. So you think you did a mitzvah, but was that mitzvah getting you close to God? Absolutely not. Because that's not what God wanted. You had a shear. You're supposed to go to the shear. That's the only shear you go at once a week. Without that, you're going 2 weeks without Torah. And you didn't even bother to say to the guy, maybe you could find someone. Okay, I'm not saying if it's your mother. Okay, where the choices become much less, you know, the options are different. Then it's a different mitzvah altogether. Okay, and there's nobody else. The mother only wants you to drive her. That's different. A friend says, I'm going to, can you give me a ride to the airport? So, you know, if people do, I say, here's $50. And I have a shir to go to. And that's it. And that's the Ratzon Hashem. For sure that's the Ratzon Hashem. So that's at times you do mitzvahs, and that's not kirvas Elokim Litov. So you gotta be awfully careful, and a lot of times, you know, you can't be the judge yourself. We have too much bias to be the judges in that. Okay. So even mitzvahs have to go under that scrutiny. So it's not just the World Series. It's even mitzvahs have to go under that scrutiny to make sure that that's what's getting you the right place. So vadish etzarech derech ketzad lahashiv esetvarim alev. So certainly, we're gonna have to find a way to learn how to bring these concepts into our hearts that we really know how to do this. I mean, obviously you're going to say, okay, so teach me how to do this. He says, we're going to do that, but not yet. Mikal Malkam Tchila Navaris Advar V'Sichleinu Be'er Gomor. We got to first really clarify these words into our minds really clearly. She'a Borlaru Birur Gomor Mamish. She should be absolutely, positively clear. She'zeh Kol Mal Sachayim. This is the whole essence of life. Kirvas Hashem Utvekas Hashem Vazula Zesulo. That life is only closeness and attachment to God and nothing else. We've got to clearly get this. I'm not going to waste my time, he's saying, if you don't really buy into this concept. If you don't accept this principle, forget it. V'chol Ma'asei Adam and all the actions of man. Heina Gashmim, whether they are physical actions. Heina Ruchnim, whether they're spiritual actions. Heim Eina Ella Kli, they're only a utensil. Ledavek as a adam bakono, to attach a person to his creator. Everything in this world you have to look at as a vessel. How does this thing get me closer to Hashem? That's the bottom line. You want to buy a new piece of furniture. How does that get me closer to Hashem? How's this? How's, you know, whatever you think of doing, getting a new shaitel. How does this get me closer to Hashem if it costs $5,000? You know, and I'm cutting back on my tzedakah money that I'm supposed to be giving, and I haven't been giving 10%. You have to answer, how does that get me closer to Hashem? Anything in this world that you're doing, how does it get me closer to Hashem? Right? How does the relationship grow from this? It's only a utensil. And what's the strongest utensil to get us closer to Hashem if we do it properly? Who had Torah Kedosha? It's the Torah and the mitzvahs that come from it, because that's the direct means. That's a direct means. Because when you're doing a mitzvah, it obviously should be getting you right to the place. But we'll have to see about all these. Okay. So that's why we entitled this section, we must be totally clear about this being the goal. Okay, Tesvav, which is number 15. So what comes out of all this? A person has to go out with this, having a she'ifa, having a yearning, a real strong desire, a clear desire to be attached to God every moment, literally. And to really want it, to be happy with it. This is what I really want. That's what the tzaddik is waiting for us to get to. Is this, do you want it as bad as watching the Leafs play the seventh game in a Stanley Cup? I know there's a lot of people who really want that badly. Before they die in this world, they want to get to see this really badly. There are people who really want to have a lot of money. There's a lot of things that people really, really want to have. Some people who aren't well just really want to be healthy. Right? So whatever in life you really, really want, so this has to at least equal it, if not more. Think of the last thing you really had to have. You had to have it. Okay? Now, ask yourself, do I feel the same way about being close to Hashem? Do I really have to have it? And want it, and be happy with it. As opposed to, okay, the rabbi said we have to do it. This, you know, King David said it, Lutzado said it, the rabbi's hammering it down our throat. He's saying a holy rabbi said this. I agree intellectually that it's true, but I really don't want it. And he understands that people are going to feel that way. Because again, because, you know, God does not have a good PR agent. Very bad PR agent. So people aren't convinced of it. But once you really want it, then it isn't hard. It isn't hard. Vazayan then, Kesher Yesh Adam Shifa Burukak, when a person really, really wants something, Ata Avodasa Lechapes Derech Ketzet Efshel Lagia Letzuris Chaim Kazushal Tvekas Bor Erlem Bechol Regev Regev Amish. Then, once you really want it, then it's time for your service to be to search in a way to find how can I live this way, being attached to God every moment. That's what he said, you know, we don't get to the how-tos until we get to the I really want to. If I really want to, then we'll get to the how-tos. Avol mochach, but it's got to be, shetchili yelarim ha-korah brua, person must have a clear recognition, shezet tafkido b'chaim, this is his goal in life. Ushifa brura la-sogas advarim, and to have a strong, clear yearning to reach this goal. Because we know the rule is, kechol shesheiva sa'odim liches b'finzeh shel tvekas baruch hu yisbarach shema b'chol rega rega tia gedola yoser. To the degree that this yearning to live your life in a way of cleaving to God every moment, to the degree that the yearning gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the more and more and more you want this, ken yeh b'kocha la'amol u'lahasu b'ilav eskola mafrim amoni mesa'odim yitvekas amitis b'kono. To that degree, that the yearning is stronger, to that degree, so too will he have the strength to do the hard work necessary to remove all obstacles that prevent him from this true cleaving to God. The more you want it, the more you're going to work at it. And there's going to be the difficulties along the way, you're going to push hard to get against it. And also to the degree that the person's yearning and desiring is weak, it's not really such a strong thing. So can call mafria kalva kotan yimneu mesaka satvekas and rispakono. Then even the littlest disturbance will stop him from achieving this true bonding with God. Right? So that's clear. The more you want it, the more you're going to try. The less you want, the less you're going to try. So in other words, what's this saying? In other words, we have to strive to fit our lives into God's goals, as opposed to the opposite, to fit God's Torah into our goals. You got that? What we have to do is, okay, I'm going to live my life. How am I going to live my life? It will be decided by what God wants. As opposed to, I want a certain thing in life, and now I will fit God and His Torah into my goals. Right? My goal is to have a very large, comfortable home. More than what I need, but my Yetzer has convinced me I have to have this, or I won't be able to live without it. My goals are to always have nice cars. My goals are always to have fancy clothes. My goals are always that people should give me lots of esteem because I'm successful in this career. And people have these goals. That's your typical Western civilization goal. Okay, now I happen to be a Jew, and I know I'll burn in hell if I don't listen to God, right? And so therefore I have to follow Torah observance. Okay, how can I fit my Torah observance into what I really want to do in my life? Right? You say, you know, God says I have to wear a kippah. Now I heard that there's a leniency if you know, and they don't bother to ask the rabbi in what case that leniency was said, right? And, you know, I heard Rav Moshe Fine says you don't have to wear a kippah to work. Yeah, so ask the rabbi, you know, in what context that shiur was given. That shiur was written in the 1950s, before there was any type of rights for employees, and people lost jobs. The mamash couldn't put bread on the table the next day. There weren't big savings accounts and things like this, and it was very hard to find jobs, etc., etc. So Rav Moshe said, if there's mamash no other way, then fine. So now that's a blanket lechatchila. He said it's perfectly fine. You know, so if you'd ask Rav Moshe Feinstein today, he'd say, no, you have to wear a kippah. That's all there is to it. But you're afraid that kippah, I'll lose that bonus. I won't be able to become a partner in the company. I'll only make X amount of dollars. And that's fine. So you're trying to fit what God's Torah into what you want. Well, what you really should want is, what does God want you to do? God wants you to take a kippah to work. Because God wants people to know there's a God in this world. That's what He wants. So you could say, so at least the person say, you know what, I hear, that's right. Unfortunately, I'm not ready for that yet. At least you're not fooling yourself. But you know, and you have this in so many occasions. For so many occasions, you know. Yeah. A woman has to cover her hair. Okay, I know it's a hard thing. But you have to fit what does God want as opposed to what you want. Well, I want to look stunning and beautiful, and everybody should notice me whenever I walk into the room. And I have to cover my hair. So I'll have to find a shetel that doesn't compromise on that, and that costs $5,000. Okay? Now, is that what God wants? Is that what God wants? Does God want you spending that kind of money on a shetel? Is that what He really wants? What does God want? God wants you to have your hair covered, finished. Right? And that's it. Okay, not to say to put a bag over your head. But the truth is, when you go out in the street, people aren't supposed to be looking at you, right? They're not supposed to. Yeah. So you could do that for much less, really. My wife never spent that kind of money on a shetel. Never, not even close. I don't think anybody says she goes in the street like a shmata, right? Not even close. Not even 1,000. Never. Okay, you don't need to. You can wear a hat, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. We try to squeeze our Yiddishkeit. We twist our Yiddishkeit into a pretzel that we say, see, I'm a religious Jew. When you're not, because you're not really. Your question isn't what does God want in this situation. It's just what I know what I want, and I will distort what God wants, and it'll look like. You know, and I found the right leniencies. I asked the right rabbi who doesn't know this, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'd say most Orthodox rabbis don't know what's in this book. They don't know what's in this book, and because you know you get too sucked up into your own careers as rabbis, you know. So a lot don't know this, and certainly don't teach it, right? And to live with that, so they'll get leniencies. You know, there's rabbis who say, you know, if I don't, I'll lose my job. I have to have a parnasa. And because of that, their views get distorted. It's unfortunate. They're human too. Believe it or not, they're human too. Okay, and therefore they allow things to go that shouldn't go on in their shul. So they don't say anything because they're afraid the board will fire them. And they'll justify it, because if I leave the next day, it'll be worse, and this and that. So it's very, you have to be very, very careful. Be very careful to really, really want this. And if you really want it, then you are going to conform to God's will, as opposed to God's will being distorted. Now, of course, there's times for leniencies. There are times for leniencies. And you need to have a competent rav to tell you when it's a time for leniency. But for you to be the judge in that, you certainly can't be the judge in that. Because everybody goes with a bias. Everybody goes with a bias. Yeah, okay, time for the...
No, so just one comment. This parallels what we learned from David Hashem, to make his will your will. We learned that. So it's the same thing.
Right, it's really a mission Pirkei Avos. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, we're all guilty, included.
Me too.
No, but, I mean, I think we'd all be closer to Hashem if we all lived in Eretz Yisrael.
Yes and no. I can tell you.
If you're living an observant life, if you're doing this in Eretz Yisrael, it's a level higher.
In theory, you're right, but practically speaking, not always. I'll give you an example. You're right, in theory. If, for example, if Shelley Glowinski could just move, get a job with Fujitsu in Yerushalayim, they open up a Fujitsu branch in Yerushalayim, and they pay him a living wage, then, and now your kids are already older now, so then it's right. You could do that, Shelley. I'm just saying theory. But if Shelley Glowinski doesn't have Fujitsu and now he moves there, he has so much trouble learning Hebrew, it's like unbelievable. Like he just can't do it. And he's gonna have to work. You're gonna realize in Eretz Yisrael, many people, you have to work all day and all night. And now because you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have no time to learn Torah, which happens many times when people make Aliyah. They don't realize how difficult it is, and whether that means you're working 6 days a week, and it's not one job, it's three jobs, you have to drive a good commute, etc., 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 etc. And then if you have younger kids, and when they go to a different school, it could be totally a disaster for them, because they can't integrate. Then, it could be, although you want to do a mitzvah, and I'm sure you'd be good intention to do that, but you know what? That may not be the Ratzon Hashem right now for you. The Ratzon Hashem is... Because a lot of times living here, so you won't get closer to Hashem. You have to have a certain personality. You have to, you know, that's why, you know, they always say if you do it, the best time to do it is before you get married. You know, right when you're young, 18 years old, right then, because you are easily adaptable and you can get used to any kind of a lifestyle, and then perhaps you can pull that off. Right? I'm not saying if you didn't do it, then you can never make Aliyah. I'm just saying you got to really think hard. Because what's the Ratzon Hashem? The Ratzon Hashem is that you learn Torah and do his mitzvahs. And the Ratzon Hashem is not to work 12 hours a day. It just is not the Ratzon Hashem. His Ratzon is not, unless it's for a good cause, Jeanette. Okay? But I'm just saying, just to run around like crazy, just to barely eke out a living, you know, and to not be able to give tzedakah anymore, and to not be able to learn Torah anymore. But I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. You know what? It's not so simple. It's not so simple. You can lose a lot of your closeness to Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not, you know, people who are born in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, that's a lot different. So that's why I always say, for a lot of us, we might not be able to make Aliyah until we retire, you know. But we can certainly encourage our children to live in Eretz Yisrael. And that is the goal. If you can encourage your children, because ultimately what's key is what's the next generation, where are your grandchildren going to be? At the end of the day, your success is a lot predicated on where your grandchildren will be. That will define what kind of success you've had. That's what Gemara says. If you're able to teach children to your Torah to your grandchildren, that means that the Torah has been successfully transmitted through you. Okay, there can be factors, chas v'shalom, you know, terrible things, people can't have kids, whatever. I'm saying in general, a normal situation, if you can see that your grandchildren are living in Eretz Yisrael and learning Torah, then you know you've done a successful job. And that may better happen by you not going and making sure you have enough money to help your child when they graduate high school to make Aliyah and to support them for a while till they're on their feet so they can integrate properly in there. And then you go retire with them when you're 65. And that could be the Ratzon Hashem. That's what you gotta ask Shilas. You gotta ask Shilas. Some people, they go to Eretz Yisrael, they don't ask Shilas. is don't ask shilas. And they think they're being more religious, and they really aren't. Because that's all part of, is this getting me closer to Hashem? Just because you're standing by the kosel does not mean you're closer to Hashem. Does not, it's no guarantee. Even if you get goosebumps, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. How about when you leave the kosel in your home and you're in your place? You know, how many people in Israel have internet that they shouldn't be watching, have television they shouldn't be watching, are eating hechsherim that are suspect that they shouldn't be eating? All right? There's all kinds of things going on. And what kind of lashon hara can go on over there? With the politics and the this and the that. Oh, wow. You know, everything's bigger stakes in Eretz Yisrael. Everything. Means if you do well, you'll do really well spiritually. And if you don't, you're going to do poorly. There's a very small middle ground in Eretz Yisrael. You know, here you can coast along in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no such thing as coasting. Either you're going to really make it or you're not. And that's the way it is. And that's a dangerous situation to be in unless you're really ready for it. You know, I'm not saying it can't be done. If you say, you know what, I'm willing to live a life of poverty now. That's what basically living in Eretz Yisrael means. Because Eretz Yisrael is a holy land, not a materialistic land. The success of living in Eretz Yisrael is based on its holiness, not on its material wealth. And unfortunately, many people make aliyah, figure, I'm going to bring everything that I have from Chutz La'aretz. I've seen friends who did this. I've seen friends who did this, not in this community. Good friends who did this many years ago. And they came with, and they bought a nice house, a really nice house, and they had 12 beds. When you guys come, you'll be our guests. And the husband couldn't make a nickel the whole time he's been there. Mamish couldn't. Mamish couldn't. And they were counting on something else that didn't come through. And as we've gone through the years, they've already downsized 3 times. They have to borrow over their heads. The husband doesn't feel well at all. He's sick from this whole thing. Learning Torah, can forget it. But feel good to make themselves feel better. But we made Aliyah. You know, I just don't see it. And these people did so much chesed, so many mitzvahs here, and learned so much more Torah. And they didn't, you know, and they're borrowing from everybody. We lent them lots of money, we'll never see it again. You know, and that's all they are now. They become a tzedakah case. They become a tzedakah case. You know, we could have lived in Toronto. You don't have to be, and you could have done that. So it's not so simple. I'm not saying you shouldn't make Aliyah, but you have to go to Eretz Yisrael saying, you know what? I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. It's a holy land. Materialism means nothing to me. That's what Eretz Yisrael is. You get energized by the kedusha only. To have an exorbitant lifestyle like we have here, we live like kings. Mamish, anyone in this room lives like a king compared to Eretz Yisrael standards, right? So you have to be willing to say, I'm prepared to not live like a king because the Ratzon of Hashem is that I should be close to him and nothing else matters. But when you go to Eretz Yisrael, but still I want to have a nice home and a nice this and a nice that and a nice everything I'm used to, it doesn't work that way in Eretz Yisrael unless you're a millionaire. But for normal people, it just doesn't work that way. And therefore something's going to give and it's usually the frumkeit. Is what gives. That's what usually happens. So you got to be careful. But in theory, you're right, Shelley. Students of the Vilna Gaon in the 1800s, because in Vilna, what did you have already in the 1800s, even if you were okay? What did you have already? A two-bedroom apartment? Ooh, you're a rich guy already. And maybe you had a little piece of chicken in your cholent? Maybe. Ooh, wow. You were a millionaire, right? To go there to Saul, the mamish gave up everything. Good, so you live in who knows what. So those people, Taka, you're right. That's the fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem. Because they live that way. They live that way. And they were happy that way. So, you know, if you can be willing to give up the materialistic lifestyle that we are all so used to and be happy with that, then kol hakavod. And there are certain people like that. But a lot of people think they are, and then they find out that they're not. Then it's too late. Yes, Leonard! Yes.
So I think what he's just trying to say is that the closest level you can get to Hashem, you have to be in Israel.
I agreed with him. I agreed. Didn't I say I agree? I agreed with him. But does it necessarily happen? I'm saying, you know, many people become further away from Hashem because of it. So that's why it really needs a lot of thought and a lot of counsel. It's like really, you cannot make such a decision on your own. It's impossible to make such a decision on your own. But people do it all the time. People do it all the time. Okay, let's move on. Yeah, so that's what we call achieving the goal depends on how badly you want it. Okay, 19, oh, where am I? 16, yes. Page Tes Zion and Os Tes Zion. You're going to like this title. Yesh Piskam Yedua. There is a well-known statement. Shemerov Eitzim. Because of the abundance of trees, Lo Roim Es Hayar. You can't see the forest. So the way we hear the term is, you can't see the forest for the trees. That's the expression he said. It's not necessarily a Jewish expression, but the tzaddik is using it anyway. And that's what he excuses himself in the next line. He says, Vinei kol davar b'riah, everything in creation, anything that exists, noat letzarach ruchanis, is there for a spiritual purpose. As the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, shakol baro lichvodo, everything was created for God's honor. Everything. The trees, the water, the sun. And guess what? Even expressions that people say were also created for his honor. That's what he's trying to say. So let's use this expression in our topic here, to explain this idea of the way life should look with cleaving to Hashem. Let's use the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees. Even though it's not necessarily a Jewish concept per se, but let's use it. Let's work with it. People talk about it. People understand the idea. So let me explain it, as they say, in your lashon, in the way you understand things. Yesh tarieg mitzvahs. There are 613 mitzvahs. Vikaram Talmud Torah. And the most important root mitzvah is the study of Torah. Kamo shekos v'chazal as a rabbi say, v'talmud Torah k'neged kulam. The study of Torah is equal to all of them. Now, v'nei tarieg heim rak shoroshim. The truth of the matter is, the 613 are only roots. Uprata mitzvahs heim rabbi ma'alamod. And the details are a lot. You know, there's not only 613 things we got to do. Each mitzvah's got a detail, right? There's a mitzvah called putting on tefillin. No, can you do the mitzvah properly just by putting on tefillin? No, you study Mishnah Berurah, and you see there's a lot of details how to put on tefillin correctly. First of all, details how to write the tefillin you buy, you got to make sure they're kosher tefillin. Then when you put them on, you got to put them just in the right spot. If you don't have it on the right spot, you haven't done the mitzvah either. There's all of a sudden a lot of details you got to know just to put on tefillin. Even to put on your talis on, you got to know some details. So we start adding the details to the 613. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of details that exist in the mitzvahs. Now, I think I left out that line in the notes. I should have put that in. V'yaduim divrei ha-Zohar kodesh. And we know how well the words of the Zohar. The Zohar says, Shatarieg mitzvahs heim tarieg itin. The 613 mitzvahs are 613 itin. It's the Aramaic word for advice. 613 pieces of advice. And he explains it in Hebrew. Taryag Eitzes Ladam. There's 613 pieces of advice for a person. That's what Zohar says. So we can ask, Eitzes L'Shema. So what's the advice for? Answer is, Eitzes Keitzes Yidabe Ka'adam Akono. There's advice how a person can learn to cleave to God. That's what these are. Klomer, meaning to say. Kol mahusim shel mitzvahs, the whole essence of mitzvahs. Heim einam inyan atzmi. They are not independent objectives. Elamapa, but they're a map. They are amara moko ma'at. It's like a road sign. Directions. Ketzad yegia ha'adam ledveikus bakono. How does a person reach his attachment to God? We've got a destination. Take out your map. The destination is God. Closest to God is the destination. I got to drive through. So I got to find a map. I got to know how to get there. God says, well, you got the 613 mitzvahs, which the tzaddik said way in the beginning already. We got to build the right structure to make the right roadmap. But that's the roadmap, and those mitzvahs will get you there. That's what the Zohar means. He has 613 pieces of advice, right? You want to get to a wedding hall. Can you tell me to get to the wedding hall? Well, I'll tell you. These are the directions. I'm not forcing you to do this, but it's my advice that you take these directions. If you take these directions, you'll get to the wedding hall. No, I don't need your advice. I'll find it on my own. You know what happens 3 hours later? You're still not there. If anything, you're in another city. You went to the Treif restaurant, and you're eating there, you know. You know, you need directions. Directions are advice. That's all it is. It's advice. Take my advice. You don't take my directions. Okay, try on your own. See how good you're going to do. So we want to get to the destination, the wedding hall. The wedding hall is Kirvas Hashem Li Tov. Being close to Hashem, that's what's good for me. So you want to get to that wedding hall. So listen, I'm going to tell you how to do it. And these are the mitzvahs that will help you to get there. That's what they are. It's just good advice. Im kein. So it comes out the following. Hamitzvah murkeves bebeis chalakim. Every mitzvah is a combination of two parts. Mechelek hamasi sheba odibur uchadoyma. There's the portion of action that's in it, or speech, or whatever else. In other words, the practical aspect of the mitzvah. There's the practical aspect. The practical aspect is tefillin. You gotta buy the tefillin. They have to have a certain specifications. You have to put it in a certain place. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing to do the mitzvah right? That's the one aspect. And now we add to this another portion, which is atachlis shel mitzvah, the goal of the mitzvah. Every mitzvah has a goal. Shehi lekarev ledavik asar makono. It is to bring close and attach a person to his creator. That's the goal. Always two parts of mitzvah, and you gotta have both. You know, what if I have all the right ideas? I want to get close to Hashem. And you spend $50 on a pair of tefillin. We know what's gonna happen. It's for sure a treif pair of tefillin. And with all the ideas, but you haven't done the action. You know, it's like the guy says, I remembered my wife's anniversary, and I went and bought her a gift, and what did you buy her? A piece of toilet paper. I did everything. I wrapped it up even. You idiot, you just bought a toilet paper for your wife? Oh, but I love her. And this is it. I don't care. You don't give her a toilet roll. But she needs it every day. It's going to help her. You idiot. It's not a present. So now, you're putting on tefillin, and they're not even kosher tefillin. You haven't done the mitzvah. Forget it. There's no mitzvah done. With all your thoughts. And then there's the others who are so careful. Oh, no, it's 100% mahadran, glad kosher, glad this, glad everything. Right? Then when you sit down to make the bracha, you slur the words of the bracha. You're missing the point as well. There's both aspects to a mitzvah. Nimtzen gang comes out. Shemitzara chelek hamasi shel mitzvah. When we talk about the practical, actual, physical part of doing the mitzvah, hey, Rabin, there's a lot of details. Glad kosher, mahadrin, checking for bugs, and this and that. Whew. Kashrus has lots of details. Right? V'zeha etzim ha-rabim shel yar. These are the many trees of the forest we're talking about. These are the trees of the forest. And it's interesting, in the bracket it says, eitz, the word eitz, which means tree. V'eitzah, and a piece of advice, shorish echelim, they have one root. He says, but now it's not, but and that's a deep concept, we're not going to get into that. But you can see how a tree and advice has a lot to do with each other. And a mitzvah is, you know, eitz chayim, it all goes in. Ulam, mitzad pnimis advarim. But when we go to the deeper essence of we're dealing with mitzvahs. Mitzat tachlis adzvorim. We're talking about the goal of this. Kol mitzvahs kavana achasam. All the mitzvahs have one kavana, have one understanding. Kirvas Hashem udveikus v'Hashem. Coming close to Hashem and cleaving to Hashem. So that's the point. Since there are so many trees in the details of the mitzvahs, because the mitzvahs are etzes, their advice, their trees. And every mitzvah has so many details. So we get lost in them. And we mistaken them for goals and not as means. And our whole focus is to do the mitzvah. But it's only a means. That's not the goal. And this is unfortunately the issue we have to deal with now in terms of Jewish education and shuls. Where people in certain places, you know, some places don't want to even hear about the trees. They just have a desert. But even in religious places, you know, where they only hear about the trees, but they don't see the forest. People who want to learn Mishnah Berurah all day. I want to know the halacha, 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 I want to know the details. And you get lost in the trees. And you don't see the forest at all. But you're supposed to get close to Hashem. You got to get close to Hashem. Learning daf yomi. A tree every day, another tree. Right? But are you any closer to Hashem after all that daf yomi? Any closer to Hashem? Did you get to the goal today? It's unbelievable. You know, we got kids in school. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on in these religious schools. And I'm not saying that They're better off than the non-religious, because the non-religious teach you heresy, which is worse. Okay? But the religious schools have their challenges. You know, memorizing Rambans. You know, my daughter comes, I can't read this Rambans. So I said, they teach you? No, I have to figure it out on my own. I'm saying to myself, my God, how does that make her closer to Hashem? Breaking her head on a Ramban, a girl? What's a girl going to do when she gets married? She's going to sit down with her husband and learn Rambans? And she's hating it. So what do you have? She hates school, i.e. I hate God. Where else are they supposed to learn to love God if not in the home and in school? You know? The school has a rule, you have to lock your lockers. And if you don't lock your lockers, even if the lock is on but you didn't lock it, they take your lock off, put a gold lock on it, and you can't get it into it till you go to the office and pay them $5. Right? So it happens to a kid, right? She closed it but didn't lock it. So the person in charge, I'm going to show them, right? They put the gold thing on at 9 o'clock. The kid has to go to the locker for lunch. Sorry, we don't open up till 3:15. The kid goes out lunch. What do you think the kid's going to think about school? What do you think the kid's going to think about Yiras Shamayim? It is one of the firmest schools in Toronto. Like, where are your brains? Okay, you have rules, but you have to show menschlichkeit. Rules are rules. So the kid now is going to love Hashem so much more because of your silly rule. Okay, if the kid leaves the locker, you know, it's a mess and their clothes are hanging out and this and that and everything else. You know, it's like, it's unbelievable. But the bottom line is, how many Rambans do they know? You know? And the kids are spending the whole coming home the whole night with tons of homework. Keep them off the streets. You know? And a token chesed project here and there. You know, they're missing the boat. They're missing the ball. Mamas, don't get it. Don't get it. Okay, we'll continue the rant tomorrow morning. We'll continue with this concept.